I want you to turn with me here this morning to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Father, I need your help. I need your anointing. I need your still small voice to whisper in my ear this morning. I need for your thoughts to run through my mind. I need your voice in my ears. I need your words to flow out of my mouth, Lord. I need, God, for your vision to be in my eyes. God, I need your anointing to break loose and destroy every yoke of bondage off of my life. That I would be able to, with clarity, preach and declare your word today. I'm asking God for your anointing to rest on every one of us in this room today. God, that your anointing would break each one of us free, Lord, to receive your word today. God, for those watching by way of the internet, as we welcome them to this Sunday morning church service, God, that they would set aside this time, God, and prepare their minds, Lord, to receive your word. To not just watch another church service, but to somehow be able to interact with us. And most importantly, with you. Now, God, I pray that you'd bring the increase. Help us to retain what we hear today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. And amen. I want to talk to you this morning about God's mercy. How many of you could just use a little bit of God's mercy in our life? Amen. I mean, we need the mercies of God. Aren't you glad that the Bible says that His mercies are new every morning? Amen. I mean, we can get up in the morning and get before the Lord and get refreshed every morning. His mercies are new. The longer that I'm a Christian, the more I realize that God has had a plan for my life all along and that He's wanted to use me for a long time. How many of you can relate to that? Amen? I'm excited about the way God is beginning to use some of you in this place for His glory and for His honor. Some of you haven't been coming all that long, but yet God is preparing you. The bad thing about not having a handheld mic, I can't thump it on something. God's preparing you. I got two of you. You know what, Jake? I think God's preparing you for some stuff. You run around in my heart more than you know. He's the God of this city. He's the God of these people. And it's the same with all of us this morning. God has had a plan for your life. Not only has God had a plan for your life, but we have a real enemy out there, a devil from hell, that don't care who he hurts, how he hurts you, how bad he hurts you. His plan is to stop you and I from becoming who God has created us to be. And He has convinced us for so long that because of what we've done in our life, we're no longer worthy to be used by God. That's a lie from the pit of hell. His mercies are new every morning. His desire is to be able to use us to glorify God, to populate heaven, to bankrupt hell. God has a plan for your life. And He's waiting for you and I to recognize the plan and to put it into action. How many of you believe that God's Word's sacred? Amen? It's holy. It's true. Can I even say this? I'm going to anyway. It's Jesus in print. According to John, the Word was with God. The Word was God. Amen? So this is Jesus in print. So if it's Jesus in print, if Jesus was in here, would you just stay seated? Would you not stand to your feet in the presence of our Lord? Stand to your feet as we read God's Word. Would you just do, I know it's like aerobics in here this morning, up and down and up and down. But I think it's an act of reverence that we stand for the reading of God's Word. This is what it says. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to his son in the Lord, young Timothy. And I want you to see this as I see it, as a reminder to Paul and to Timothy of what his life was compared to what God wanted it to be. Verse 12, 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are willing to believe on Him for everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be glory, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless the reading of His Word this morning. See the picture of all that God can do. You can be seated. The picture of all that God can do to us remains incomplete as long as we fail to let Him work through us. Yeah, I'll say that again. The picture, how many of you see things in like pictures of things? The picture of all that God can do to us, how many of you know God can do some things to us? And I'm not talking about bad things. I'm talking God. I mean, He could, but He's the giver of good things, right? The picture of all that God can do to us is incomplete. It remains incomplete as long as we fail to let Him work through us. Listen, if you're believing God for some things, if you've got some expectations about God and about what God wants to do in your life and do through your life and do for your life, maybe it's high time that we found a way to allow Him to work through us so that we can become who He's created us to be. So Paul not only expressed his gratitude to God, he demonstrated it. Is it possible to appreciate all that God's done in our lives and not feel compelled to tell somebody? I mean, if God's been doing some things in your life and in my life, doesn't it stand to reason that we ought to be telling somebody about what God's done in our life, about the great things that God's done, about the things that God's done, the things He's set me free from, the things that He's brought me through, the things that He still has in front of me that I'm yet to walk through, and I might be scared out of my mind to walk through them, but I know who holds tomorrow. There's a marquee on the North Umpqua Highway, and it says this: I'm not afraid of the next chapter because I know the author. Ha ha! The part of the gospel that says this is what God can do for you rings more clearly when it's preceded with this is what God has done for me. Let me say that again, all right? The part of the gospel that says this is what God will do for you rings more clearly when preceded with this is what God has done for me. When you're trying to tell somebody about the goodness of God, about what God can do in their life, you're trying to lead them to the Lord. Listen, if you just begin to share with them your testimony, God will begin to use what you've gone through to bless them. Amen? Excuse me just a minute while I get some air. Because I'm putting it out faster than I can get it in through this. I might have to have some help. I don't know what I need. Maybe a knife. I got it buttoned, but I can't get it unbuttoned. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Sorry if I don't look quite as dapper as I did, but I had to breathe. Huh? Man, I was dying here. His catalog of common sins. You probably didn't know they were common sins, did you? His catalog of common sins reminded Paul of his own sins. And in fact, he calls himself the chief of all sinners. The reason why Paul considered himself the chief of all sinners is because I hadn't been born yet. Amen. But instead of allowing the memory of his past to overwhelm him, Paul overflowed with gratefulness that God had strengthened him and appointed him to serve in the spreading of the good news of salvation to his fellow Jews and to the Gentiles. Listen, I'm telling you, some of us have gone through hell. Some of us have had to walk through some things in our life. Some things we've done in our lives have brought pain to those closest to us. And I understand that. That certainly is true in my relationship with Tammy. I've hurt her deeply in our marriage, and I shared some of that on Friday night with the men. But I got to tell you that instead of it stopping us, it strengthened us. Could I get an amen from the front row? Glory to God. Was it easy? No, it was not. Are there sometimes residual effects? Yes, there are. But at the end of the day, God has brought us through some things, and God is wanting to bring you through some things. We cannot allow the memories of our past to overwhelm us, but begin to overflow with the gratefulness that God has even strengthened us and appointed us to serve Him in spreading the good news of salvation to all of those that we're around, to all of those that God has appointed and brought to come our way. Now, I want to share three things to you today, or with you, that to not miss in the 12th verse here. And this is what they are. Number one, in verse 12, let me just go back and read it. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. God has counted you faithful. The first thing that God did was God strengthened Paul. Can I tell you this morning, I don't know what each one of you are going through, but I want you to know that the way God strengthened Paul, God will strengthen you. This Greek word here for strengthened is endunamasati. It's got the word dunamis in it, so that talks about what? Talks about power. So the word is endunamasanti, and it literally means He empowered him. God empowered Paul. God has empowered you and I. God is looking to empower us to do great and mighty things beyond what we could ever think or dream or imagine. God wants to endue you with power. The word strengthened here can imply the idea that God added strength to what Paul already possessed. What is it that you possess today, church? What is that thing that you possess? I'm telling you, God wants to strengthen it. He wants to add strength to what you already possess. And while the word empowered conveys the thought that Paul considered any power that he might use to have already originated in God. We sang about it in this song, right, John? That he's the strength when we are weak. The problem is, especially for us guys, is we're like, well, I got this. I can do this. Right? I'm suffering in my physical body right now because I'm too prideful sometimes to say, hey, I need some help. Bob is sitting in the back. He's in pain this morning because, bless God, I can do this. Some of the rest of you are seated here today in pain because you did something that you could really have used some help doing. But I just don't want to be a bother to anybody. Hey, hey. Am I preaching good? Especially those that need bothering. Listen, we laugh about it. We laugh about it, but I'll tell you what, it's a hard thing for me as a guy. Well, I've always been able to do it myself. I've always been able to do whatever I needed. I figure out a way to do it. But I'm 40 years older than that guy now. Parts of me don't work quite the same anymore. Hello? I'm not as strong as I used to be. And it's a hard thing for me to call somebody on the phone and say, hey, you got a few minutes? I could sure use some help. You know what? Biblically, what we call that. Biblically. Pardon me? You can leave now. Pride. I can't let them know that I can't do this. I'll do the preaching. I don't even know who said that, but that's good preaching. While the word empowers conveys the thought that Paul considered any power that he might use to have originated with God, Paul used the same verb in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 when he wrote this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So number one, God strengthened Paul. God wants to strengthen you. Every one of you. He wants to strengthen you. Number two, God judged Paul faithful. God judged Paul faithful. Look right up here at me this morning. Because I want you to understand that even though you're going through whatever it is you're going through, God is judging you and He's judging me faithful. The enemy will come and he will tell you, you are not faithful. You've been unfaithful. You've been less than God's highest expectation. I'm talking to you this morning about mercy. And God judged Paul faithful. This word judge translates to the word we have in our English language and our Western culture, considered. And it conveys more a more relational idea than what judgment does. So that God considered Paul faithful. Paul didn't think that he had earned God's favorable judgment. And probably we don't either. Probably we can disqualify anybody. Can anybody disqualify themselves this morning. Huh? We disqualify ourselves. But listen, I want you to understand this morning. God loves us. Paul didn't even think he earned God's favorable judgment. But that being called faithful was itself part of God's grace. What's grace? What is grace? Unmerited favor. What's unmerited means I don't deserve it. I ain't worth it. Nothing about my life says that I should be found faithful. Paul urged, let me back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2. And again, Paul speaking here, Paul says, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful." Verse 1, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." What are some of the mysteries of God? Well, let me play the guy looking in from the outside. As far as the mysteries of God. Because sometimes we think we've been so bad, we're so messed up, there's no way God could love us. But the reality and the mystery is that He still loves me anyway. He loves me in spite of who I am. He loves me in spite of my fault, my shortcomings, my times that I've let God down. That's a mystery, isn't it? How God, the God of creation, this God, the man, let us so consider as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful. You know when you're not found faithful? You're not found faithful when you give up and walk off. I've said it. I know Tammy said it. I've heard others of you say it. The things that you're going through right now, God is going to turn them around and use you in someone else's life to set them free from exactly what you're going through. That is a mystery of God. A servant does what his master tells him to do. Paul urges here the Corinthians to think of him, to think of Peter and Apollos, not as leaders of factions, but literally as servants of Christ entrusted with the secret things of God. Church, you have been entrusted with the secret things of God. The devil can't stand that. He hates that. He's going to do everything he can to stop you from possessing these secret things of God. We have to do what God tells us to do. And a servant does what his master tells him to do. We see all these, I don't mean to get political or any of those kinds of things, but it just goes in right here. I mean, we hear of all these people that are getting in trouble and they're with the police and they hate the police and this the police and that, and they're just, you know, people are getting shot. If you just do what they're telling you to do, you probably wouldn't get shot. You probably wouldn't get tasered. You probably wouldn't get thrown to the ground if you just did what you were told to do. Hello? We have to do what God tells us to do in the Bible and through His Holy Spirit. Every day, God presents us with needs and opportunities that challenge us to do what we know is right. Did you hear that? Every day, God presents us with needs and with opportunities that challenges us to do what we know is right. Number one, God strengthened Paul. Number two, God judged Paul faithful. And number three, God appointed Paul for service. God has appointed every one of you for service. Do you understand? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not leaving anybody out. All y'all. Amen? God has appointed every one of us. Paul was not a passive receiver of God's power and His grace. He saw himself, and the same way you and I need to see ourselves, as a channel through whom God can work. Amen? As he wrote, almost immediately the results of God's work in his life were demonstrated in the way God was able to bring about belief in other people. It will shock you when you begin to share your testimony with other people. When you begin to tell other people of the things that God has brought you through and is right now bringing you through, it will shock you the way others begin to believe in the God that you serve. It's a natural outflow. Every one of us in this room needs to express our thankfulness to God for His strength. We need to thank God for His regard for us as faithful workers and for His appointing us to do His work. Isn't it amazing to realize and to know that you were born for such a time as this? To live in today's society, to be used by God to minister to people that you know. You could have been born any time in history, but God said, nope, right here, right now, today. Because He has a plan and He has a purpose for every one of us. And we need to understand He has appointed us to do His work. Paul did not exaggerate his past performance. Scripture first reveals Paul as an arch enemy to Christians. And he didn't mince any words about it. I mean, he was set out to kill Christians. Paul persecuted Christians because he sincerely believed that he was serving God by stamping out this distortion of his beloved Jewish faith. And despite all of his knowledge as a learned Pharisee, Paul remained ignorant about Jesus' true identity and stubbornly remained in unbelief even after seeing the unwavering faith of Stephen and the other Christians whom he persecuted and had probably already even killed, who stood strong. Paul had the chance to believe, but he missed it. How many times have we had a chance to minister to somebody, to witness to somebody, to lead somebody to Jesus, and we've missed it? I remember in St. George, on Sunday night service, a gentleman came in our church, and the Lord told Tammy, you need to go and minister to that guy. And she's like, not going to do it. Nope. But before that service was over, she gave in. And she went and ministered to this guy, and he was a truck driver, and he shared with her that If God didn't do something in his life that night, because all kinds of stuff had been gone wrong in his life, that he was going to end his life that night. But because she went over and ministered to him, he surrendered his life to the Lord, and because of her obedience, saved literally his physical life. What motivation do we need, church, to be obedient to God, even if it scares us to death? You're wearing the shirt today that you were wearing the first time we met. And it's because of what your shirt says that I engaged you in conversation. And you're in our church now because of that conversation at Tommy's restaurant. That's just how it works, church. I'm not advertising for Tommy. He doesn't need advertisement. I'm just saying it was an act of obedience by God. Hey, we're looking for a church. Well, I know where one is. It's right there. And I'm the pastor. If I remember right, I didn't look very pastoral that day. But that's all right. We have to begin to see ourselves as a channel through whom God can work. We need to express our thankfulness to God for His strength and for His regard for us as faithful workers. Paul didn't exaggerate his past performance. I'm not asking you to either, but we need to not live in our past, but we need to allow our past to be a tool to propel us forward. Amen? Paul persecuted because he thought that he was serving God. He had the chance to believe, but he missed it. Yet Paul came, but God came even to Paul, even as he set out to capture and kill more Christians, and in the process of it all, offered him grace and offered him mercy and offered him a new start. That's crazy! Isn't it? Am I the only one that thinks that's crazy? I mean, this guy's going, he's on his way to go kill more Christians, and God shows up and offers him, in the midst of knowing exactly what he was going to go and do, he offers him grace, he offers him mercy, and he offers him a new start. Listen, don't let the devil tell you today that you've been too bad in your past, because God is offering you grace and mercy and a new start today. Paul knew from personal experience the words that he wrote to the Romans in chapter 5 and verse 8. God demonstrated. Talks cheap. God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were His enemies, He died for us. That's love. That's love. These are amazing words. And God sent His Son Jesus to die for us, not because we were good enough, but because He loved us. How many of you have children today that aren't good enough for you to love? Hello? Not one of us. At their worst, we love our kids. You know why? Because they're our kids. That's my kid. Do I agree with everything that he's doing? No, I don't. Does everything that he's doing please me? No, it doesn't. But at the end of the day, he's my kid and I love him. And God's a way better father than we are. And He loves us. He loves us. Whenever we feel uncertain about God's love for us, we need to remember that He loved us even before we turned to Him. If God loves you when you're a rebel, He can surely strengthen you and love you now that you love Him in return. Amen? So grace is an important concept throughout the pastoral epistles as well as in all of Paul's writing. Let me define the word grace for you. When used of divine grace toward mankind, it refers to the undeserved favor of God in providing salvation for those deserving of condemnation. That's what we deserve, church. We deserve condemnation. We deserve hell. But there's something that has motivated Almighty God to stop us from hell. And that is love. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. In the more specific Christian sense, the word grace speaks of the saving activity of God, which is manifest in the gift of His Son to die in the place of us as sinners. Think about that for a second. Let that coin slide down the slot. His grace is shown to us generously. Grace comes to us through our relationship with Jesus Christ. We find grace nowhere else. The world is not offering us grace. The world will condemn you and I that quick. But not God. See, grace comes through our relationship with Jesus. It's not based... Oh, my, my. It is not based on anything we've done, but on God's love and mercy. Period. See, if you jump ahead to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, it says this: You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So see, even our salvation is based on grace. Titus chapter 3 and verse 7 says, having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Isn't that amazing? When grace operates in your life and my life, it results in faith and love. Paul's boldness in Christ in some ways can be intimidating. And we might feel that our faith in God and our love for Christ and others will always be inadequate. We will experience times of failure. Hello? At least I have. We will experience times of failure. But we can remain confident, church, that Christ will help our faith and love grow as our relationship with Him deepens. How many of you, go back to the old days when you were a kid, and you messed up, and you knew you messed up, and you knew who you had to face? Yo, daddy. For some of us, that brings back vivid, vivid imagery. Grandma, she is pointing at you, and I can't believe it for a second. I cannot believe it. I just can't believe it. Let me listen. I can remain confident. My dad was prolific with a razor strap. He was effective. He knew how it worked. And I did too. I know it's hard for you to understand this today, but I was an ornery little guy. And I probably had ADD, ADHD, all the other letters of the alphabet. I probably had all of them. My dad's treatment was through the back of my Levi's. And it's a miracle. I was healed. Glory. I was healed. You and I'm trying to help you to understand that we can remain confident that Christ is going to help our faith and love grow as our relationship with Him deepens. Just because you messed up don't mean He don't like you no more. Just because you and I messed up doesn't mean we're disqualified. Hello. Are you getting this? Paul's prayer for the Philippians applies to you and I also. Listen to what he said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. You've heard me say this 100 times if I've said it once. Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I was sitting in my chair this morning going through this, and this word complete just jumps out at me. What does that word even mean, complete? He's going to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I want to define the word complete. It means to finish. To finish, to complete, to repay, to reward. The Hebrew word denotes perfection in the sense that a condition or an action is complete. He is working on you and I. We mess it up. He keeps working on it. We get little divots in it. He keeps smoothing them off. We get marks on us. He keeps smoothing them off. We keep getting off track. He brings us back on track. He's not finished with us. He's going to work on us until we're complete in the day of Christ Jesus. So as with the Philippians, God will help you and I grow in grace until He has completed His work in our life. We are a work in progress. Be patient with me. God ain't finished with me yet. When you're discouraged, remember, God will not give up on you. He'll not give up on you. Everybody else might give up on you, but I promise you today, God Almighty, His Son Jesus Christ, and His Holy Spirit will never give up on you. I can tell you very truthfully this morning, the only reason I'm in this pulpit this morning is because God never gave up on me. Because I've been told, and you've heard me say it before, but I was told, listen, there is no hope for you. And I was told that by someone that I revered highly in the ministry. It was a pastor, and I revered him highly. He was highly esteemed in my life. And when that guy says, there ain't no hope for you, pal, you begin to believe it. And I did believe it. And not only did I believe it, but I acted upon it. I lived like there was no hope. Problem was, I had this thing going on down in here that I couldn't get rid of. It was the unction of the Holy Spirit that just kept messing with me and convincing me and telling me there is hope for you. And I thought, if there's no hope for me, why do I still feel like the Holy Ghost is trying to get me to repent? And I repented. And things changed. Was I perfected? No. Am I perfect now? No. Am I likely to mess up? Absolutely. But I know that God has not finished with me. God will not give up on me. He promises to finish the work that He has begun in every one of you. And when you and I feel incomplete, when we feel unfinished or distressed by our shortcomings, remember God's promise and provision. Don't let your present condition rob you of the joy of knowing Christ or keep you from growing closer to Him. Let me say it again. Don't let your present condition, where you're at today, the mess you might be in today, the things you might be walking through today, don't let your present condition rob you of the joy. Can I tell you how to get through it? Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Don't let your condition rob you of the joy of knowing Christ or keep you from growing closer to Him. In verse 15 it says that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Paul was recognizing the failures in his life, the way that he thought he was doing right things, but the reality is he was just a mess. Just like you and I are. Just like we have the potential to be. A faithful saying confronts us with non-negotiable truth. We're not asked to consider. We're asked to fully accept. We are invited, church, to submit rather than to question. See, you know you, and I know me. And I know what my life has been. I know the things that I've walked through. And if I'm not careful, I will disqualify myself for all the bad that I've done. But I have to be reminded by the Holy Spirit that I have been forgiven. I have been redeemed. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Those things no longer are on my record. Those things are no longer controlling my life. But it is a battle that I have to face. Don't be distressed by your shortcoming. Remember God's promise. Don't let your condition, your present condition, rob you of joy. We have to just simply accept that I am forgiven. Because if we don't walk in the forgiveness that God's provided for us, you know what? Here's literally what we're doing. We are putting ourselves in a place of authority higher than God. And He said in His Word, you will have no other gods before Me. And when you don't forgive yourself, That's where you're putting yourself. You're placing yourself, because God said very plainly in His Word, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be forgiven and He will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's what He said. You and I can't argue with that in our own self-righteousness. Well, I've just been too bad. No, you haven't, or you'd be dead. Pride demands full understanding before there is acceptance. Do you hear that? Pride demands full understanding before there is acceptance. Humility bows before the God who has made Himself known in Christ Jesus. And God's Word, church, stands firm. If Paul meant to emphasize the present tense, I am the worst, it would mean the more Paul understood God's grace, the more he became aware of his own sinfulness. And some people teach that we ought to never speak of ourselves as sinners, but as saints. Yet Paul recognizes both, that he had been a sinner, but that he was now a saint saved by the grace of God. He recognized his past, but he did not wallow in it. Paul wasn't nearly as interested in creating an image as he was in being an example. Now, that's powerful, church. Paul wasn't nearly as interested in creating an image of himself as he was of being an example. He didn't hesitate to share his past because he knew his failures would allow others to have hope. Your failures, listen to me. Your failures are what is going to be used by God to let other people know you can make it because I've made it. There are times when we hesitate to share our past struggles with others because we're afraid it will tarnish our image. Can I just tell you, the men that were at the meeting on Friday night, I sat out in my pickup and I bawled like a baby. Because I didn't want to share the things that I knew God wanted me to share. And I called my precious brother in the Lord a long ways away from here. And I said, man, you got to pray for me because I have to share tonight my testimony. And he prayed with me. There are none of us in this room today that wants to tarnish our image. People have already labeled us as this and that and the other thing. And I can't let anybody know really who I am, because then they'll know who I am and maybe they won't like me anymore and it will tarnish my image. And those are the things that I battled with. And I set out my pickup. I parked clear out back in behind so nobody could see me, but everybody parked back there. And I sat there and I just bawled. Because there were men that were going to be there that I didn't want them to think of me that way. There's things in my life that I just don't want everybody to know. Because it'll tarnish my image. Listen, I'm created in His image. I'm His prized possession. And it begins immediately to create a paradox, for their knowledge of us is incomplete. They didn't know who I was. And they were not sure that they would be able to accept us if they didn't know us. And I couldn't ask those men to be real and honest before God if I wasn't going to be real and honest before God. And it hurt. But I pray that God will use it to set some of these guys free. That we will become the men that God's called us to be. These problems are image problems. They're difficulties that we encounter in trying to manage what others know of us. You will kill yourself trying to manage what people know of us. Let me tell you something. What I shared in that room that night could be used to destroy my life and my ministry. But you want to know something? If they come and run to Mike and say, "Oh, Mike, you know what Pastor did? You know what? You know what he?" Mike, "Yeah, I do know, actually. I know all about him because he shared it with me. I know everything about the guy. So what you got to say to me is just something that the enemy's trying to use to bring shame when he's been forgiven for it. So you can take your bill of goods and peddle it somewhere else because I already know." Anything that has been exposed to the light cannot be used against you in the darkness. Paul demonstrated that lowering our guard can be an important step in communicating the gospel. People will not believe the gospel is important if they can't see that it is crucial in our life. Listen, outside of Jesus Christ, I am nothing. I might be the pastor of this church, but if Christ isn't the center of my life, I am nothing. He is everything. People will not believe the gospel is important. Let me tell you something. When you begin to tell people what God's done, who you were, now who you are now, what He's brought you through, what He's given you grace and mercy to overcome, they will begin to understand that He is in fact crucial in your life. And when Paul realized all that God had done for him, he was left with no other words other than praise. No other words than praise. God forgave Paul, and He used him effectively for His kingdom. I'd like to be able to stand here this morning and declare that God has forgiven me and is using me effectively in His kingdom. No matter how shameful your past, I'm here to tell you today that God can forgive you and God can use you. He is only asking today, will you say yes? Will you say yes? Will you lower your guard? Will you begin to tear the walls down that you have hidden behind all these years because nobody, you want nobody to know who you are? God already knows who you are. Yeah, it's an image problem. I hesitated to share my past because I was afraid that it would tarnish my image. But can I tell you something? I've been before the Master. I've been before the Master. I don't have any coins in my pocket because I gave them all to the boys. But if you had a coin in your pocket, you look at the impression on that coin. Guys like me carry those around in our pockets, and I have bullets, and I have anointing oil, and I have an old spur, a rowel off of a spur, and I just carry those things around. It's not good luck or nothing. I just carry stuff around with me. But from rubbing against all of that stuff in my pocket, through the years, the image on the coin begins to diminish. And as they go through the bank system, somehow or another, they're monitored. And when the image gets to the point where it's not vivid anymore, they get sent back to the mint, wherever, and they run through the process again, and they get re-stamped. They get restamped. The image gets refreshed. And when it comes out the other end, the image is perfect. It's crystal clear. And church, I'm telling you that you and I need to get back before the Maker. We need to come back to the place where we get restamped in our life. And the image of God, we are, listen, God's Word says that you and I are created in His image and in His likeness. Some of us this morning need to get back before our Maker. And we need to begin to just say, God, You know me. You created me. And according to Your Word, I've been created in Your image. But God, I've been bouncing around out here in the world for all these years, and Your image has become somewhat tarnished in my life. I'm barely recognizable as Your child anymore because I've just been bouncing around. I've been riding the dragon too long. But today, God, I want to get back before the image maker. Maybe you're here today and heads are bowed and eyes are closed and people are praying. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I don't think I've ever been before the image maker. I don't think I've ever given my life to Jesus. I've never surrendered and asked the Lord to forgive me." But today, I want to. Today, I want to be redeemed. Today, I want to be forgiven. Today, I want to surrender my life and all the mess that it is to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to completely have my life transformed by the power of Your Holy Spirit. If that's you today and you're here, you say, "Preacher, that's me. I've never accepted You as my Lord, but I want to today." If you'd slip your hand up, I want to pray with you. Maybe you're watching by way of the internet today. God's mercy is for you. If you'll pray when we pray, God will save you right there in your home, just like He'll save in this church. Anybody at all, say, "Preacher, that's me." Maybe today you're here, and as the indication has shown this morning, everybody in this place has surrendered their life to the Lord. But you know what? Maybe you're here today and you find in yourself that you've been tarnished, that you've been bounced around in the world so long that the image is becoming fuzzy. Who you are in Christ has been tarnished. You've had opportunities to share your past. You've had opportunities to share your struggles. But you didn't do it because you were afraid that it would tarnish your image. But today, you say, I want to get back before my Maker and worry about His image in my life and only His image. This morning, if that's you, I want to open these altars up today and invite you to come. Stand before the Lord and say, "God, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, O God. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation." Lord, I don't ever want to be afraid of sharing my past with anyone because it might be the very thing that sets them free to surrender their life to You. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to just get up and come. Come on. Come on. Anybody else? Say, "That's me. That is me. It's me. It's me. I need to get re-stamped. It's me." Come on. Anybody else? Come on. Come on, guys. Gals, there's some of you gals that probably need to be up here. This ain't just a guy thing. pastor, Lord, I pray. Bless him. God, would come before our Maker today. We come before our Maker today. We say, God, restore me. Restore me, God. Restore me, God. Stretch your hands toward these, Lord, these folks. It's a huge thing. Step out. Stand before your peers. But I want you to know God loves you. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Father, I pray right now, God, by your Holy Spirit, that you would begin to clarify the image in their lives of who you've called them to be, who you've created each one of them to be. The things of the past are just that. They're in the past. Lord, you said that you would use all things for your good, for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. The good, the bad, the ugly falls under the category of all things. Now, God, I pray that you cause it to happen. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd use each one for your glory as lighthouses. As lighthouses, God, of the grace and the mercy of God. I've bumped shoulders. I've rubbed around in the world. I've become tarnished, but my image that you created me in is going to be vivid. It's going to be vivid. God's going to use you for His glory and for His honor as you surrender yourself to Him. Lord, I thank you for everyone up here today. God, I thank you, God, that you are going to begin to use them for your glory. That, Lord, you're going to use them to say, look, I don't know what you think about me, but I've got issues in my life, and the enemy's tried to kill me, the enemy's tried to take me out, the enemy's tried to destroy me, but I'm standing here today because of the grace and the mercy of God, and I promise you that God will use you. He will use you to set people free when we begin to understand that we are created in His image. And what I fail at or succeed at is not my image. I'm created in His image. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you. God, come on, church. Can we just give the Lord a great big hand clap of praise? Well, God bless you. God go with you. Thank you for joining us today by way of the internet. Amen. Wednesday night. Don't forget to be here Wednesday night. Friday night. Thursday morning, 10 o'clock. The ladies, their women's thing is growing. I believe our men's ministry is going to grow on Friday night. And God is good. Amen. God bless you. God go with you. We'll see you later.